Blog Talk Radio.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken head.
He has
a miracle.
About the situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your needs, go tell the world, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
Lord,
mended my broken.
He has mended my broken head.
you, Lord. For the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose, thank you, Lord. Right where you are. Come on and tell us.
Welcome. Come on, hallelujah. I pray that you won't leave here tonight the same. Amen. Hallelujah. The word is going to go forth here in Bible study. Welcome you all. So Wednesday night Bible study here at the Gospel Public Ministry between Pastor Tawanika Manning and Pastor Dorsey Manning. So welcome everyone tonight. I hope you all have your Bibles and you're ready for Bible study. We're going to pray before we enter in. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Nazareth, our Lord and Savior. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, O God. We come to receive, O God, and tonight to be changed, O God, by your word. So, Father God, we ask you to open up the channels of our spirit right now so that we can receive a forming on tonight, O God, revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word so that we can apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, Father God. Lord, we thank you, O God, for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. O Father God, we thank you for new mercy and new grace, O God. We thank you for every breath that we take. Amen. We thank you for every beat of our hearts and those in our family, members, and loved ones, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is you that have kept us and not ourselves. Amen. We thank you, O God, that our sins are forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father God, we ask that you have your way. Holy Spirit, move mighty on today, on this call today, and everyone's life is on the call today. And those that purpose our heart to be here on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, do what only you can do, Father God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you allow the scripture, God, and lesson to take root and manifest in us, my body, soul, and spirit. And be engrafted in our hearts tonight, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace all the days of our life. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We come against every hindering spirit on the line, every spirit of confusion, doubt, every unteachable spirit, every fighting spirit, familiar spirit, every spirit of sickness, disease, infirmity, affliction, biases, pain, ache, and discomfort right now, the spirit of pride, every spirit of worry, every spirit of fear, oppression, depression, any spirit that's operating in us and our household on this line tonight. We come against you right now with the blood of Jesus Christ. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we decree and declare, hallelujah, we are delivered and set free from every evil spirit. Amen. Evil person, Satan and his agents right now. We're delivered from all our troubles. Amen. Because God is in us and God is with us. And we thank you for, Lord. We send your word, Father God, that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We decree and declare tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the greatest you that's in us than he that's in the world. And we thank you for, Lord. As we enter in tonight in our lesson, oh God, we ask that you have your way, Holy Spirit. Lead us in God, as amen, that we may hear from our Heavenly Father, receive divine directions and instructions. Hallelujah. What we should do, what we should say, where we should go. Let us speak with the boldness and the confidence and the power of the Holy Ghost, and let it be established in this earth. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we thank you for, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. For God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God. For one more time to be here, clothed in our right mind, knowing who we are and whose we are. Amen. There'll be a time in Bible study where the lines will be open up to everyone that wants to ask a question or wants to give a comment. Amen. Last week, our Pastor Mary, who was teaching on confessions and declarations of your life, but we're going to pick back up and tonight we're going to talk about deliverance and spiritual warfare. As we were speaking a week ago, we kind of been on this lesson for over a month, about 2 months, covering a lot of ground, understanding what spiritual warfare is and deliverance and kingdoms that are operating, the two invisible kingdoms that are operating here on earth, which is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So if you have pen and paper, you know, you want to write that down. It's a lot to take in. That's a goal, but, you know, we have Bible studies. It's time for you to take notes, ask questions, and then go back over for yourself because it's a lifestyle. It's not a one-time thing. You get it. You take a test and say, no, it's so that you can apply to your life to help you and to help others. Amen? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I want to make sure I'm not moving too fast. However, I do want to make sure that we are all getting the lesson. So if I can get someone to press one, let me know if you all can hear me not clearly. I'm using a new headset here, and so I just want to make sure that you all can hear. If you just press one, somebody press one, make sure you all are hearing me clearly. And that would help me out to make any adjustments on my end. Now, if you all can hear me clearly, if you can press one for me, I just need one person to press one. Okay, so. Maybe you all, okay, so you can't hear me. Okay, good, good. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dillard. Okay, so again, like I said, last week, Pastor Manning was teaching on confessions and making declarations of your life. So I'll let him pick that back up when he comes back on the following week. I'm going to pick up where we've been on for the last couple of months. And tonight we're going to talk about deliverance in spiritual warfare to advance the kingdom of God. So when looking at the book of Acts, and I'll come out the New King James Version today. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. That's the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. We're going to start that tonight. Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the ultimate purpose of God is to advance his kingdom on earth, bringing healing to the nations and draw people back to relationship with him. So this is accomplished through deliverance and spiritual warfare, everyone. So while Jesus was on earth, he began preaching, teaching, and demonstrating the kingdom through miracles, signs, and wonders, healings, and casting out devils. Okay, so this same kingdom message, you all, and demonstration continued through the apostles and now through us, the body of Christ. So we are the body of Christ, you all. So it is continuing through us, you all. I need you to understand it. That's a continuation. It did not stop. There's a continuation here today through us. So this is why both deliverance and spiritual warfare are necessary in the lives of believers. Amen? So this is also why the enemy has sought to corrupt our understanding and acceptance of deliverance and spiritual warfare with fear and erroneous teachings, you all. But I believe we are in a time where the enemy will not be able to keep us from knowing or accepting and carrying out the purpose, you all, of God on the earth. So the kingdom of God will advance. People will not be afraid of deliverance and spiritual warfare. They will see that the kingdom is not some theological concept, but a living reality, and they will be dramatically transformed by the power and message of the kingdom. Amen. So the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ, will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to express the kingdom message through miracles, healings, angels, visions, judgments, and prayer. The church will be set free to be an instrument of restoration to the nation. Amen. Hallelujah. When we look in the book of Psalms 2 and 8, we're talking about the nations are our inheritance. Let me understand, the nations are our inheritance. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So the vision of the prophets was always global. As you will see, you all, in prophecies in the book of Psalms. When we look at Psalm 2, verse 7 through 8, it says, you are my son. I will give you the nations for your inheritance. When we look at Psalm 22 and 27, I'm just going to go through a few for you. Psalm 22, verse 27, you can write it down. All the families of the nation shall worship before you. The book of Psalm, chapter 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord. Psalm 48 and 10 says, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. When we look at Psalm 65 and 5, we say, you are the confidence of all the ends of the earth. Amen. Psalm 86 and 10 says, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord. Psalm 102 and 15, the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and of all the kings of the earth your glory. And just to give another one, Psalm 108:5 says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. Amen. So when reading these scriptures, there should be no doubt of the plan and purpose of God. This purpose comes through the church, the new creation people, amen, who will become a global phenomenon. Understand, we are a new creation. When we're in Christ, when you come and you're in Christ, you become a new creature. The old has passed away. The book of Acts tells the story of the church and kingdom breaking out of the framework of the old covenant and breaking forth throughout the earth. So what began as a small sect of Nazarenes became a global movement, you all, that could not be stopped. The book of Acts is therefore the fulfillment of the prophecy that the kingdom would extend to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So the book begins with Jesus speaking of the kingdom and ends with Apostle Paul in Rome speaking of the kingdom. But before Acts was written, the kingdom message was only preached to Israel. Jesus told the 12 disciples to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, according to Matthew 10 and 6. So if you go over to Matthew chapter 10, you all, verse 6, see for yourself. I'd like us to lay our own eyes on it so you can see for yourself. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, the Bible reads the New King James Version, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. So they were forbidden by Jesus to go into the way of the Gentiles or the Samaritans. So the kingdom message was to be given to the Jews first. This was because God could not bring salvation to the nations until he brought salvation to Israel and fulfilled his promise to them. Amen. So, and when he did, you all, through his son Jesus Christ, the nations that once worshiped idols would come to the realization that the God of Israel is the one true God. They would cast away their idols and look to the Lord for salvation. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anyone have any questions or comments so far? I want to make sure I'm not moving too fast, but not too slow. Okay, press one if you have any questions or comments. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in Bible study. Amen. All right. So what I do want to go over the teachings of the nature of the culture of the kingdom, because we are talking about kingdom. We're talking about God's kingdom here. You are therefore, as the kingdom expands through the preaching, the teaching, and demonstration, we are responsible to conform the diverse cultures of the nations to the culture of the kingdom. Amen. So there are some things you need to understand about kingdom culture. The kingdom of God has the ability to cross culture barriers. So it is good news to everyone. Amen. There are people in every culture who desire the peace that comes with the kingdom of God. So this is because the kingdom message goes beyond the culture and touches the spirit. Amen. So new believers, regardless of where they come from, must be taught the characteristics and culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom includes love, humility, service, integrity, forgiveness, work, giving, worship, prayer, respect, honor, and so forth. The culture of the kingdom will challenge the unrighteousness, you all, that is resident in many cultures. So it will challenge us in areas of our culture where sin is acceptable. So throughout the Bible, we see how the kingdom of God went into many pagan cultures. So these cultures were filled with idolatry and superstition. Sexual immorality was common in these cultures. The Western culture of today, you all, is also filled with immorality. Why? Because it has roots in the paganism. Camille Paglia writes that Western culture is a very complex combination of two traditions, the Judeo-Christian and the Greco-Roman. So the overarching argument of all of my works is that paganism was never in fact defeated by Christianity, but instead went underground to resurface at three key moments. the Renaissance, the Romanticism, and the 20th century popular culture whose sex and violence, my Lord, my God. So they interpret a pagan phenomenon, you all. So those who receive the gospel will disassociate themselves from sexual immorality. Apostle Paul admonished the church of Ephesus, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for the saints, according to Ephesians 5:3. Early church leaders stressed that abstaining from fornication is God's will for believers. Bible says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. A decree by the Jerusalem Council that the Gentiles were to abstain from fornication, according to Acts 21:25. Fornication is the Greek word apornia, which has a broad-based meaning including illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, and so on, sexual intercourse with close relatives, sexual intercourse with a divorced man or woman, and the worship of idols of a defilement of idolatry as incurred by eating the sacrifices offered to idols. So speaking of the Greek culture, Apostle Paul addressed adultery and lynch rights, you all, and the dominant culture in the establishment of the kingdom was the Greek culture. So the world in which Apostle Paul lived was a Greek world, thanks to Alexander the Great, who made it his mission to make the world Greek. But by his death in 323 BC, much of the known world was ruled by Greece, and Greek culture was forced upon the world. So even when Rome became the ruler of the world just before the time of Christ, it adopted much of the Greek culture. So the Greeks were learned and skilled in the art. They referred to the non-Greek as barbarian. They gave culture a new meaning. They were also a morally corrupt people. Immorality and promiscuity, you all, were rampant and considered normal. Divorce was common. Homosexuality was viewed as normal by many Greeks. So those familiar with Greek mythology were known that the Greek gods were no better than the Greeks themselves. Apostle Paul was not exaggerating when he said many Christians have formerly walked in immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, and idolatry, according to Colossians 3:5-6. So it is not amazing that many Jewish Christians did not warmly accept Greeks who were newly converted to Christianity. So the advance of the kingdom in the Greek world is a testimony to the power of the kingdom. You wonder why she's saying all this, because there's a testimony here. And that testimony is to the power of the kingdom of God. So all these things that the pagans seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need, according to Matthew 6, one of my favorite scriptures, you all, according to now, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things may be given to you. Amen. Matthew 6:32-34. Amen. So God created a holy people, you all, in the midst of idolatry and perversion. The same is true today. The revelation of deliverance that accompanies the gospel has the power to overcome the immorality of Western culture today. Jesus contrasts those in the kingdom with pagans. A pagan, you all, is defined as an adherent of a polytheistic religion and an antiquity, especially when viewed in a contrast to adherence of a monotheistic religion. So Apostle Paul conscious the Corinthian church about the need to avoid fellowship with pagans who might be under the influence of a demonic being because of their sacrifices. When we look in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. I'll give you all a chance to get there. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can read it for yourself there. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Again, we're going to open up the line. If you have any questions or comments here in a minute. So 1 Corinthians 10:20 reads, Rather than the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. So we see it here in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. So pagan worship, demons, idols, y'all, their worship involved temple prostitutes, sodomites. It was into this pagan world that the kingdom was established. The Greeks had many gods, including Aphrodite, the goddess of love, who was the most beautiful among the Olympian goddesses, and aristocratic woman named Sopopho, who lived on the island of Lesbos in the Aegean Sea near Greece, worshipped Aphrodite, and frequently mentioned the goddess in her poetry, admired her, and asked for her help in her relationship with women. Because of Sappho and the name of the island in which she lived, that we get the modern West, the modern word lesbian. So that's where we get the word from, lesbian. The sexual immorality and perversion are pagan and are rooted in idolatry. When we look in Romans chapter 1, we'll see this. The Gentiles suppressed the truth of God and spiraled into idolatry and sexual immorality. So culture of the kingdom is one of the holiness and sexual purity you have. So those who submit to Christ and the kingdom will present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is the kingdom culture that we are commissioned to deliver and teach to the nation. So I'm going to open up the lines. If anyone has any questions or comments at this time, I hope I wasn't going too fast for anyone. But if you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. We'd like to hear from you if there's a comment or a question. Amen. Amen. If you have any questions or comments, if you're logged in to the preacher and the pastor on tonight, you have a question or comment, give us a call here at 845-277-9213. Anyone have a question or comment, please press 1. Okay. All right, so we're going to move right along. Okay, you all, so deliverance, we're going to talk about deliverance that promotes the kingdom culture. We're going to talk about deliverance that promotes the kingdom culture. Okay, see that you have someone has a question or comment. Evangelist Kimberly Rutherford, God bless you. Welcome. You have a question or comment?
God bless you, too. Yeah, you mentioned it a little bit about the different sins, and you said it's you said something about the divorced women or whatever, divorce. It's a sin mm-hmm. to have sex with somebody that's been divorced. Is that, even if they marry mm-hmm. them, it's still a sin?
Well,
huh?
You got to understand. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. But
I can hear you.
The difference is you got to understand who called the person. Because some people are married to people that are not from the kingdom of God. So if it's a marriage that God has put together, because you have to understand, if it's God put it together, no man, nothing or no one can come between that that God has put together. So you have people that are married not by way of God's kingdom, but by the kingdom of Satan. So if there is one that is ordained in a marriage by God, God's ordained marriage, then that marriage, that woman, that man that's married, a divorce for anything, for a sexual immorality, as long as out there having sex, then it would apply to them.
Gotcha. Okay. That's what I was wondering about.
So you got people that are married.
Okay, thank you.
When you look in the Bible, people are marrying people that are not supposed to. God told them to do not mix with those people, and they were still marrying people that God did not ordain them to do. So you have many people that are married, but it's not a marriage of God. It's not ordained in God's kingdom. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you see people are married to women and women, men and men, people that are non-believers. They're practicing two different religions. They're living two different lives. Bible says, can they walk together unless they agree? I can't get my words together. So, yeah, and I think that's kind of tricky for a lot of people understanding that when people are married, then they divorce and they marry again. A lot of those marriages are not ordained by God. So you got people getting married, they don't even believe. You got people that did not believe in God and what God was called marriage to be that are getting married for whatever reason. Because you don't have
right.
to. You know, does it make sense to you? I don't want to make sure I'm not rambling.
No, it does. It has to be sanctified by God. He can clean that situation.
Yeah.
And if it it was the divorce was, you know, done under godly legalities, like you were saying, for whatever God, you know, gives a reason for divorce, then, you know, that exempts that person. That's what, I mean, that's what I heard.
You have marriages that God put together, and in those marriages you have, how can I put it so that everybody can understand what's listening, that, how can I put it, let me see if I can break it down. We're going to have a whole nother study, so I can break it down to everybody, so they can kind of understand how that works, because I believe a lot of people may have questions about that, because you have people in ministry that have been married, but it wasn't a marriage that God put together, because you have to say the enemy will tempt people and to stop you or block you from what God has for you in his kingdom. So have people be failed and all kinds of to be cast on people to get them to be swayed from what God has for them and who God has for them to be with. And that's why people don't really understand. You have people that'll go back and say, well, Solomon and David had many wives and they had this, and how did that apply now, and why was that being said? So people have a lot of questions about that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
I think we'll have another time to take that information now.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you answering that for me.
Okay, I hope that was clear for you and anybody else anybody that's listening had a question about that as well. Because I know a lot of people do have questions about that when it gets to that point in Scripture and having an understanding from Old to New Testament and how that works.
Right.
So we definitely want to be in order. Amen. God bless you. Evangelist Kim, thank you for your question.
God bless you.
Amen. Does anybody else have any questions or comments tonight? We want you to press one. Amen. So thank Evangelist Kim for having that question. Like I said, we'll probably have another Bible study lesson on that so we can get a better understanding, because I think a lot of people, when they come to that part, they're kind of confused with it. And we want to make sure we're in order. So we thank God for all that God has done. Amen. We thank God for revelation and knowledge. So as we go on, we're going to be wrapping up here in the next 10 minutes. You all, I hope you all are able to take down some notes tonight here in Bible study. So we're going to talk about the deliverance that promotes the kingdom culture. The deliverance promotes you all kingdom culture. The kingdom of God challenges and overpowers the rule of Satan over the nations. Deliverance is necessary. You all, when there is idolatry, occultism, witchcraft, and sorcery present in the lives of people. So when people come under the rule of God, the power of Satan is broken. Amen? So the miraculous is an important aspect of the kingdom of God. Deliverance from demons is a miracle mystery. It's a miracle ministry, you all. Deliverance from demons is a miracle ministry. Jesus began with the message of the kingdom. He preached this message throughout Galilee and cast out devils, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 39. Jesus cast out many devils. This was an integral part of his ministry. Jesus demonstrated the authority of the kingdom over the powers of darkness. Amen. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons, you all, to speak. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him, according to Mark 1 and 34. So the disciples also cast out many devils, you all. They also preached the kingdom of God. They anointed many with oil and healed them. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them, according to the book of Mark 6 and 13. So those in bondage to sickness and demons, you all, they were set free. This was the good news of the kingdom of God. Amen? So too often the church has tried to advance the kingdom without the supernatural. So many have shied away, you all, from deliverance because of the fear and ignorance often encountered in this area. We must remember that this is the ministry of Christ. He had compassion on the sick and demonized, and so should we, you all. We should all have the same. Amen. The ministry of Christ continues through his church, and we are his church. Y'all, this is a sign that should follow believers. Amen. There's a necessity of deliverance and spiritual warfare, and it must be uncovered. It must be uncovered. I believe that teaching you all understanding deliverance and spiritual warfare will help us and help everyone here and all, every church, comprehend the importance of deliverance and spiritual warfare in our lives, in your life, in the lives of those that are around us, and to accept the ultimate call of expanding the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth. You all, there are two of God's tools to advance in the greatest kingdom of all. Where there is much, you all, that we have learned in this time of deliverance and spiritual warfare for more than 3 decades, you all, ministering for many that you may have encountered with, me and myself, have not exhausted the revelation of these important subjects. I pray, you all, that you have time to go over everything we've learned during this time of study. Amen. It will provoke you to study all the things that we've been over for the last, those who have been with us for the last few months. And if you was not here every Bible study, you have an opportunity to go back, because every Bible study is archived here on the Preaching the Pastor. The Bible says that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. We only gain when we know what the Word says. Truth sets us free, you all. We don't want to fall victim to error and deceit, which leads us right back into bondage. We must continue to study and proclaim the truth of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to preach and demonstrate the kingdom. He is the king, the tree of life. Eat from this tree and enjoy the abundant life of the kingdom. There is no substitute for the kingdom, and it is our responsibility to advance it from generation to generation. Let us recommit, you all, and rededicate ourselves to the kingdom. Let us understand and teach it to the next generation. Let us not shy away from deliverance and doing our duty to ward off the enemy in spiritual warfare. Let us stay girded up in the power of God. According to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 16, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, about to be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The truth of the message of the kingdom, which includes freedom and rest from all our enemies, must be recovered. Amen. Josiah recovered the law, and revival came to Israel. I believe the recovery of these truths, you all, will position the body of Christ as an authoritative answer for troubles in the world. Righteousness, peace, joy, and revival will reign among the nations from generations to come. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for the lesson on tonight. Amen. Every question or comment on tonight. If there's anyone that has any questions or comments at this time, we would love to hear from you as we wrap up this Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. If you would press 1. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would press 1. We have completed our lesson and study of spiritual walker and deliverance. We have been studying this for quite some time now. We've been able to cover so much these last few months. And understanding of the law, the wicked ruler. We went over so much marine spirits of idolatry. We studied uncleanness. We talked about that. We talked about being delivered from it. How did we get delivered from it? What prayers to pray? Spirits of alcohol and drunkenness. We've covered so much. And like I said, if you were not here every Wednesday with us, you can always go back and review those times of study that we had during the time of spiritual warfare and deliverance. Amen, so that you can apply to your life and share it. Once you receive it here, we share with others. Amen, to help someone to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Does anyone have any questions or comments at this time? We would love to hear from you. I would love to hear from you. We talked about ungodly soul ties. When there's an unequal yoke between believers and unbelievers, we call this an unequal soul tie. We talked about that breaking ungodly soul ties is the key to deliverance. Ungodly association causes evil spirits to be transferred. So if the Lord cannot directly control you, he will influence you through ungodly association. And that's kind of what I was talking to the evangelist Kim about, you know, when people get into marriages that are not of God, and what tends to happen when God is not in that marriage or God is not ordained that marriage. It doesn't mean that people have not entered into a marriage, a covenant with the enemy. And a lot of times it's to deter you or to destroy you from what God has for you. Amen. And you'll have people that will stay in those relationships and die in them because that's what the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we have to be very careful. The Bible says either the elect may be fooled, either the elect. Amen. All right. Well, I guess nobody has any questions on tonight. I pray that all has learned a lot in this time of study of spiritual warfare and deliverance. It's our daily walk, you all. It's not something we do one time. We go back in for reinforcement. Amen. Sister Billard. Amen. God bless you, Sister Billard, coming through. Amen. Welcome, Sister Billard. God bless you, Mama. Go ahead. You have a question?
God bless you. Just a comment. Good afternoon. Okay. I mean, good evening to everybody. The lesson was good. Some of it I got, some of it I didn't. But what I got was good. So I'm going to have to go on.
Amen.
On the, what you call it, here, do the rest. But it was good.
Okay, good thing, yeah. Amen. We thank God. It's a lot we're still learning. You know, some of us been in churches and we didn't have an understanding of what, you know, what's really being taught. But now that we can break it down and go back over and see for ourselves, and now that we can be corrected. We can be corrected and walk, you know, and live like it's upright. And please, to the side of God, now that we have knowledge, knowledge is key. And so now that we have knowledge and then we have wisdom, that God gives so that we can apply, and then we can live our life in a step on the key to the side of God when we didn't know any better, when we thought we were doing right. So,
amen.
We just thank you, thank God. Amen. For new mercy and grace. Amen. Thank you, Sister Billard, for
new mercy and grace. And as you pray going out, can you lift up, catch my breath, Ebony? She's fighting COVID.
Aaron's daughter.
Yeah.
Is she in the hospital?
COVID. Uh-huh.
She in the hospital?
Lift up and pray. Uh-huh, yes. She in the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we lift her up.
Thank God.
Thank
the
Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
we'll
we do. Lord,
hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
We love you. Thank God for you. We thank God for all the ministers on the line today, Pastor Dorothy and Manny, that's with us online, though he's at birth. We thank God for Minister Ryan Green here tonight, and his community effort. And we thank God for kindness, Sister Dylan, and everyone else that's here on the line for you all being here in Bible study on tonight. Anything that you want to add in future Bible study, something that you probably that you don't have an understanding about, let us know about it. It's something that we can cover in our Bible study lessons so that we can go over it. Amen. So we just thank God for one more time and let us pray. I want to remind everyone that in the month of October, we're going to have 30 days of prayer set October the 1st. Those who want to join us, we'll have two set times at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So if you don't make the 6 a.m., maybe you'll be there at 6 p.m. But if you make it on both times, that's even better. So just come on in. If you were with us, we're praying for breakthrough in our areas of our life, for us and our family members and loved ones, trusting God, whether it's breakthrough in your finance, in your marriage, in ministry, in your healing and deliverance. And we're coming believing and trusting God for it. It's a time for us to come together and come aside. There's been so many distractions for so many of us, and that's what the enemy likes to keep us distracted. So when there's distraction, there's confusion. Amen. And we end up missing. We end up missing and we're distracted. I don't know if you ever drive driving in the car and got distracted and missed your exit or missed your turn. And so, and that's the same with life and our walk in the spiritual. If we're so distracted, we will miss what is right in front of us. Amen. And what God has for us. And so we just thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for everyone. I love you all and I love you more. So we're going to pray. We're going to lift up Ebony Bean on tonight. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Holy Father, we can't thank you enough for yet. Still, we thank you. We come on tonight, oh God, we can't believe and to receive your word, oh God, to change our life, oh God, to change how we think, oh God, change how we operate, that we will operate in truth and in spirit, Father God, according to your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that our sins are forgiven, oh God, that we are washed clean from all unrighteousness and filthiness, oh God, of this world, in the name of Jesus Christ of Mary. Oh, any real will that we had before, God. Hallelujah. We detach ourselves right now. We sever our ties, oh God, with the enemy, oh God, and we bind our mind to the mind of Christ and our will with your Heavenly Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and love, to continue to operate in all the days of our life. We thank you, Father God, that you can give life in ourselves, oh God, and we just want to say thank you, Father God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you continue to pour into us great and mighty your word and your wisdom, Father God, so that we can continue to apply to our life and help those, oh God, in need. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, that we can minister, oh God, to give one another and even to the unbelieving, those that are lost in this world, that they too may come to know you, oh God, in the name of, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, let peace come and be still in the home of your children, oh God. Let our household, oh God, reign with peace, amen. Make us peacemakers, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Operate according to the fruits of your spirit, oh God, not lacking one. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. Lord, we lift up your child tonight, your daughter, Ebony Dean, oh God. We pray, oh God, for divine help and healing to our body, God. We pray for speedy recovery right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of heaven. We speak to COVID on tonight because we have the power and authority of the Holy Ghost operating on the inside of us. Amen. And we decree and declare that she is healed, delivered, and set free. And we command COVID-19, any viruses right now, known and unknown to man, sickness is unknown and known to man, that's operating her body right now. We command you to cease your works and die at the root of trial in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of heaven. Oh, Father God, increase your faith right now, God, that she can receive a miracle of healing right now, right where she is, oh God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We know you to be a miracle waker, God. We know you to be our promise keeper, Lord God. We know you to be a healer for the God. So Lord, we ask you to heal right now, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And anyone that's on this line tonight, oh God, is dealing with any pain, ache, or discomfort, or sickness, or disease, oh Lord, in their bodies, oh God, and those in their family members, oh God, let healing take place right now. We call upon you, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Heal, Lord God, the only way that you can, oh God, completely and whole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ over us right now, amen. And we decree and declare by the blood of Jesus Christ that we're protected and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all that we have and all that we will have is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, God shall condemn. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father God, we pray for your hedge of protection around us and our family members and all that's on the line today, oh God. Let there be no corporation or penetration to these hedges of protection. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for your hedge of protection, oh God. Lord, we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. Lord, I ask you to bless all tonight, oh God, with sweet dreams and a peaceful sleep on tonight. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts, oh God. Let restoration come, oh God, as we sleep on tonight. Restoring our health, oh God. Restoring our strength, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ of heaven. Oh Lord, let there be a pouring in even as we sleep on tonight. Oh, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. We decree and declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that it is so and it shall be no other way. That we are blessed and we can never be cursed. And we're going from glory to glory to glory and wealth and riches are in our home. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless everyone. Again, I thank you all for being on tonight. May you all have a peaceful night and a sweet sleep on tonight. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you back here on Saturday at 12 noon. If you are with us at Saturday for our lead lessons at 12 noon, please join us if you can. If not, we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. on our Sunday service. God bless you. God keep you. We love you. God loves you. But remember, Jesus is Lord and the devil is defeated.
Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Back to you, you gave me my husband.